Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you been talking about Peanut Butler on the podcast? And I went, yes, yes, I have.
Right on that Hoover, that was.
Yuckity-yuck, McMannequin.
The British Bulldog is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before T-Mabel.
Here comes the jackknife.
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review, as the other Cultaholic lads get ready to find out who will survive. Saying that, it's already happened at this point. We know who survives, but we are here via the IcaPro-powered DeLorean on the way to finding out who will survive in 1995. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, with the mulligan to my O'Hare. Somebody obscures my view of you. Really? Jared Depardieu! Oh, Jackins. How are you, Jackins?
I'm all right, thanks, Tom. My nose is certainly smaller than Gerard Depardieu.
Well, how dare you? Gerard Depardieu has a perfect nose.
I'm not saying it's not, I'm just saying mine's smaller.
Apparently, a big nose means good sexual prowess.
Well, that makes sense because I've got a small nose and I'm nothing to cry about.
I read that on my number one source for information, the Facebook group Frasier Shitposting.
Oh, wow.
It's just people posting memes about Frasier.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That good sounds times. Fantastic.
It is good times had by all. It's a nice day. How are you, Annie? What's new with you?
Not too bad. I'm still tired from Full Gear at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing that happened.
It was a very good show, wasn't it?
Do you know what? Yeah, I thought it was probably one of the best wrestling shows of the year. That's a big thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I
need to rewatch it, though.
Oh, my gosh. That was Tony Khan dropping his money.
Thanks, Tony.
In our bank accounts. Thanks, Tony.
Oh, you got me a gold bar like I asked.
We get paid by gold bullion from Tony Khan. Is the mic broke or is it fine? By the way, if you're not on the Patreon,
it's fine.
Scuttle along a little bit to this one side. Because Fraser, who does the editing, said last time you were falling off the edge. There we go. That's about right now. There you are. You're hanging on in there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But
yes, if you watch on the Patreon, a microphone fell over. You're welcome. Sorry, how was Full Gear?
It was very good, yeah. But because I was in play-by-play mode, there's lots of little things that I will have missed and I can't properly enjoy it. I still enjoy it, but, you know, because you're in work and you're just like, right. Mm-hmm. Can't miss anything. But, I do really want to rewatch it, especially the Punk Kingston match.
That was just brutal.
Yeah.
And I was, as it should have been.
I was firmly Eddie Kingston all the way through as well. Not upset that he lost. I just hope it goes on more.
I think the one thing that Full Gear showed us that is that just because something is obvious, that it's obvious that it should happen, doesn't mean that it's bad.
No.
Hangman Adam Page becoming the AEW champion was a very obvious solution to the story, the obvious finale to the story. And a few wrestling companies, I'm looking at you, Vince McMahon, would see the fact that, oh, people think it's going to happen. We best make sure it doesn't. And that's just because we know it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was the perfect end to a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's like, watch it. Pretty much any mainstream blockbuster film, Batman film, you know, going in, it's going to end up with Batman winning, but yeah, it's all about how he gets there.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was nice to see how, watch Adam Page sort of come of age, because when AEW started, it were like, oh, this is the guy we're going to get behind. And you didn't buy, and like I didn't buy it. Nobody bought it, and they turned that into a big story, and it got to the point where like he's now the obvious champion, the heir apparent, and that's AEW making a star from the ground up.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Let's not lose sight of that when people go, it's all anti WWE guys or former WWE guys.
It's all former Ring of Honor guys, anyway.
Anyway, we can't talk about modern wrestling. We're not allowed. We'll get put in the chamber again.
But Tom, it's my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthmas when this is out. Merry birthing times.
Thank you, but birth friend.
Merry birth friends. How old are you going to be / how old are you?
So at the time of recording, I'm 32 years old. On Sunday, the 21st of November, write it down, I will be 33.
Oh, so how lovely.
When this goes out live, I will be in London just eating meat.
Just random meat.
Just meat.
Whatever
meat
comes towards you.
Yeah.
That's a great birthday.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about turning 33?
I'm not asked.
That's the way to be.
It's just that obviously last year we were in lockdown, so for my birthday I went to a park. So this year I'm looking forward to doing, you know, something.
Yeah. Lockdown birthdays on the whole sucks,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
They really did. I think mine was my in January was a lockdown birthday, and it was, what did we do anything? Were even the pubs over there? I don't think even the pubs were open.
No, everything was
down
again. Yeah.
Sat at home. Yeah. We watched Bill and Ted, the new Bill and Ted movie.
I haven't seen it.
A lot of cake. It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Matthew turned up and socially distanced, came to wish me a happy birthday.
Oh, that's nice of him.
It was really lovely of him. And obviously, he kept a distance and he waved at me from it. He walked all the way to my house so he could come and wish me a happy
Hello,
birthday.
Hello, pal. How are you, pal? Happy birthday, pal. Many happy returns.
That's exactly what happened. And then he left. Oh, it was lovely. And I was a bit piddled by that point, so it was quite emotional. It was nice.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Since we won't see you next week, but obviously people are hearing you now. Yeah. Happy birthday. Shake hands. Happy birthday. Oh,
thank you.
Birthday handshake. Well done. Your gift is in the post.
Oh, thanks.
Actually, by this point, we would have had a Greg's party.
We will have one. Yes.
Because you said that you are not a drinking man.
Yeah.
We're going to have a bunch of Gregs in the offices. No, yeah. Not the food Gregs, not just some guys called Greg.
Get here, Gregory.
It's a very different party. I've got some Gregs to turn up.
Let me eat your face.
So we're going to eat a lot of Gregs, and there's a horrible rumour that we'll watch Home Alone 3.
Ross and Jack were going on about how Home Alone 3 is fantastic, and the rest of us poured hot scorn on it.
Sean Fightful from rosssapp.com says the same thing. And normally he's quite a trustworthy source. Somehow he's lost some integrity in my eyes there.
See, we're old school. We listen to Dave Meltzer, who doesn't even know what Home Alone is. So.
The last film Meltzer watched was...
it was train pulling into a station.
Woman tied on tracks. Oh, Dave, it's funny because you're old. So we're going to go back to the year of our Lord 1995. Thank you very much if you joined us for In Your House 4, the watch-along of Great White North. What a time that was.
Oh, it was.
We had a lovely time. And now we're on the road to Survivor Series 1995. It is the 23rd of October, 1995. Get Shorty. He's still number one in the US box office. Mm. Mortal Kombat, number one in the UK, which is weird because it came out in August. So I don't know why it's had, like, I don't know whether it just came out late in the UK, whether the wiki article I read was wrong, but Mortal Kombat, apparently, number one in the UK.
As it should be.
Mariah Carey, Fantasy, still number one in the Billboard charts, as is Simply Red, Fairground, still number
both
one.
Both amazing songs.
Some other music bits for news this week. Def Leppard entered the Guinness World Records, performing three shows in three continents on the same day. They did Tangier, Morocco, London, England, and Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Jesus.
All on the same day. And he's only got one arm. That's amazing.
I know, yeah.
How'd he get there so quick? The Smashing Pumpkins released their album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness on this day. Thoughts on this one?
Any thoughts? I really like the Smashing Pumpkins. I'm more of a Siamese Dream fan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of Melancholy.
And it's also this week that Cliff Richard will be knighted by the Queen for services to music.
Well, let's move on swiftly.
The day after this episode of Raw, Channel 4 broadcast the first episode of its young adult soap opera called Hollyoaks.
If we could say nosing around.
Nosing around. By young adults for young adults. It was a youth-targeted soap set in the UK. It went on to win many awards because it dealt with many taboo subjects not seen on British television.
I didn't realise it had been on for that long.
Yeah, it's been around forever. I think there was something like 12 characters in it to begin with, and now there's like 50.
God.
I have to admit, it for me personally, and it's only me and I'm nobody, it has that Change the Channel energy to it when they go, and next on Channel 4, Hollyoaks. And I go, okay.
Yep.
Simpsons is finished.
Yeah, same. I watched Neighbours as a kid. I'd watch, you know, whatever my parents were watching, Coronation Street, EastEnders, good old Brookside. But Hollyoaks, no.
Having said that, we all know the theme song. And we both hate it.
Yeah.
We know the theme.
It's the power of a good theme.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So that's some of the real world shit happening in this particular week. What's happening in the wrestling world, Jackins?
Bugger all, apparently.
It's one of them weeks. It's a quiet week in the wrestling.
Yeah, it was a quiet newsletter week. But the reader's poll was in from WWF In Your House 4.
So what did Dave's viewers / readers make of IYH 4?
So for thumbs up, 3. Thumbs in the middle, 7.
Okay.
Thumbs down, 226.
We really didn't like In Your House then.
At the time, it was the worst poll reaction to a WWF show in Wrestling Observer newsletter history.
Well done.
Yeah.
I always wanted to give him a pat on the back for that. That's impressive. Was it that bad? Yeah, it was.
So the main stuff in the newsletter was just more guff on Syracuse. But because we're blessed with the power of hindsight, we covered it all last week.
Mm.
There was one bit, though, which made me piss. So obviously, last week we were talking about, you know, hero of the show, British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith, and 123 Kid were in the back of this two-door car.
So they were in the back while they couldn't help Sean.
Yeah.
When he was getting his shoe in.
Imagine this.
Okay.
There was also a third man brother in the back.
Was it Hogan?
And no, unfortunately not Hulk Hogan. As I put there, it is not Hulk Hogan.
Oh, we're making the same jokes. We finish each other's sandwiches.
Oh, we do. So there was this the third bloke in the back of no significance. About the three of them sat in the back. Davey Boy was in the middle. The man, the width of a wardrobe, sat in the middle just like, get some leg room there.
Why did he sit in the middle?
So
why is Sean in the front? He's tiny. Get Dave in the front seat.
Or Kid.
Or actually Kid, yeah. Jeez.
But so we were laughing last week thinking of Davey Boy trying to climb from the back seat out of a two-door car. Now we've got to imagine him coming out of the middle. The back seat of a two-door car to stop Shawn Michaels getting his head taken off.
Safety latch up.
Oh, child lock. Someone open it for outside.
Put child lock. Oi, sex kid man. Open child lock.
Oh, no, he's asleep. Get off him.
They're doing that sleepy time thing where they punch him in the face lots. That always helps me sleep. Punch in the face lots.
Bulldog in bed wearing like a Victorian nightgown and hat. Just goes, nah, nah, God bless.
Punching himself.
I love 40 winks, mate.
Did you get some bits on Michael's neurosurgeon? Tiny little bit here.
No,
just said that the. So basically, WWF kind of drifted this over the last week from being, you know, dealing the best they could with a bad situation to being out and out liars.
Mm.
So Michael's neurosurgeon told Sean, or advised Sean against traveling to Winnipeg and strongly advised against wrestling. And this came after the weekend syndicated shows where they were saying, Shawn Michaels will definitely be at In Your House 4. Like, I even thought, like, on Raw, where they had, like, the special update on Shawn Michaels ticker along the bottom, that maybe that's where they're going to go, nah, you're going to be there. Nope, they doubled down on that. On the Action Zone, on every show before In Your House, Shawn Michaels will definitely be there. He'll be defending his title. And they would, so they knew.
Yeah.
a week before that Sean was in no condition to wrestle In Your House 4. So they were still hyping that he was going to be there. And even on Raw, hyping that he was going to wrestle to some capacity. WWF says Dave, possibly because Undertaker was already missing the show, didn't want to let anyone know that Michaels would also miss the show as it would potentially hurt late buys. Dave editorializes this by saying, this was a combination of unfortunate circumstances beyond the company's control, which they started off being very honest in handling. But in the end, when the chips were down, they resorted back to being sleazy wrestling promoters.
you can see why they've done it. You can't agree with it, but you can understand why.
Especially when the time is so... When at the moment it's so rough as it is anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
You would have just rolled with it. I mean, they were hoping that Shawn Michaels was going to be back up and running by the next house show, which would have been the 11th of October at the Nassau Coliseum. So he was only going to miss one show. So they were hoping that maybe like they could just not have the match and then it'd be fine. But then when they realized actually he's probably going to be out for a little bit longer than we think he is, let's put the belt on Razor.
Yeah.
Not Dean Douglas.
Not Dean Douglas.
He gets a right kicking mentally. He gets the metaphorical shit kicking by a bunch of Syracuse sailors later on by Shawn Michaels. And he gets his bollocks cut as well. Note the cut motion. So there we go. So those are a few extra little Syracuse-y bits.
Well, going on from Syracuse back to Undertaker, after you mentioning Taker being out. At this point in time, he had had surgery 2 weeks back to repair his broken orbital bone. His eye had to be moved a quarter of an inch in the surgery with an implant put under the bone to push it back to its correct place.
Geez.
Because the eye was out of place from the break. When Undertaker breathed, little bits of air were coming out of his eye.
Oh, my God.
But in my head, as soon as I read that, I just imagined his eye going... Undertaker just sat there trying to look menacing, probably, you know, skinning one of his fallen enemies because they were men back then, damn it. And just his eye squeaking like a broken trolley wheel.
Making that noise that Wheezy makes in Toy Story.
Ah, Woody, I need my squeak bird.
He gets his squeak back and he's Robert Goulet.
There's nothing about his eye. That's grim.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Oh, that's grim. Mm. I was describing an oscopy, not the one at the underneath, the one through the nose to somebody recently. And it's the one where they check your voice box and your things down here, your lungs and all that. Because I had to have a couple a while ago and I had all sorts of problems with my throat. And they imagine me not being able to talk. There's a weird parallel universe where everybody's much happier. And they put a little camera on the end of a rope and they push you up your nose and you feel it touch the bottom of your eye because they have to go through there and down.
Bollocks to that.
And you have to try and breathe very calmly as you can kind of feel the tube going past your mouth.
Right.
Fun story.
Did it help?
Yes, because they could see how knackered my voice box was. I had polyps and stuff on...
Ooh.
Nodules on my voice box. I had nodules on my voice box. And thankfully, with a lot of drugs and some minor surgical stuff, we were able to sort it and now we're fine.
Lovely.
But I was a very poorly man for a while. But happy days. And I'm still here, you bastards.
Unfortunately, you did have to leave your Napalm Death tribute band though, didn't you?
I did indeed, yeah. One day I hope to... Best not do that anymore. I'll hurt my throat.
Would you like some Ultimate Warrior bollocks?
Mate, I would bloody love Ultimate Warrior bollocks.
So remember the other week we were talking about Big Jim Hellwig wrestled in Germany, didn't he?
Yes.
Right. So he wrestled for the CWA against Ulf Herman.
Nice.
And some latest news has come out about Jim Hellwig's appearance.
Okay. I'm sure it went brilliantly.
I'm sure it did.
Sure it was brilliant.
According to Dave Meltzer, sorry, I just shouted that because I'm just joyous.
According to me.
According to Meltzer.
Carpet salesman.
Jim Hellwig didn't sell out the building, but they sold it out 2 weeks later with Paul Roma headlining.
Oh, my God.
The CWA isn't interested in using the Ultimate Warrior in the future.
Oh, I mean, that sucks for Warrior. I thought he would have been a draw.
So, yeah.
Germany just not biting on Warrior.
No.
They're like the most underappreciated member of the Four Horsemen.
You watch any ranked video, you're gonna find out about Paul Roma very quickly. Let's put it that way.
But
well, there you go. Well, Warrior, bless him.
And I've got
not the draw.
One last little tidbit talking about people who definitely aren't draws.
Okay.
In the USWA, Techno Team 2000, who according to Meltzer have looked horrible, seem to be on their way out as they did a TV job for Billy Jack Haynes and Doug Gilbert. Of course, they'll be back in the WWF in 1996.
Will they?
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. I thought they were done.
No, apparently they do come back.
Oh, I thought we were going to leave the memories alone.
No. We're gonna heat up the memories a little bit and then be like, I don't want this. I'm going to order a kebab instead.
Warmed up cold memories. My favourite. Mm. So let's take a look at Monday Night Raw from this particular week. It's the fallout from In Your House 4 live this week from Brandon, Manitoba, Canada. This week was scheduled to be the last week of B shows. Remember we talked, I think last week or the week before, about how they're winding up the B shows?
Yeah.
They all got cancelled on Friday because nobody bought tickets.
No one bought tickets, and I think Undertaker was meant to headline the loop, wasn't he?
And they were
just like, Undertaker's not here. Here we go, everyone, with Bob Holly. No.
Let's just bin this off. I mean, I'm a gobsmacked that a roster this wather thin was running B show.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gone to the format now where it will just be all A show, house shows, and less of them, but beefier ones, which is actually probably the best way to do it, I think. You earn a lot of love and trust, and it makes it more special when they come to town.
Definitely.
You know, rather than running Butthole Minnesota and with fucking Greg Valentine on top. Yes, yeah. There's an alternative.
I mean, no offense to our friends in Butthole at the moment, but
big hello to you if you're listening in Butthole, man, in Butthole, Minnesota. new theme music for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Far more action-packed than keeping the energy.
The classic chugger. Did you notice there was some new clips in the video as well?
No.
There was just Doc Hendricks dancing like a twat. And there was Vince and Lawler gurning and Dean Douglas looking happy. And then the rest of it was from the I Like It Raw video.
When you say the classic chugger.
Right. I've written here the classic chugger.
Like a chugger. Ding, 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 ding. The one that would kind of form some basis of a Raw theme to come.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I hadn't spotted that.
But we've got this one for a bit. Apparently, according to a YouTube video I saw of a timeline, it will flick between a few of the Raw themes just as and when for some reason.
They won't commit to one.
Until we get the Game Changer for One Night in 1996.
Oh.
And then we get the Raw as War theme. I don't care who you are. You can take any others and stick them up your ass. It's thorn in your eye afterwards. Well, but
we get Nickelback.
We do get Nickelback. We get the band Nickelback. Could have been we get Marilyn Manson for One Night in 1996.
How excited. So that's to come. Tonight, it's the fallout from In Your House 4. We've got a women's championship match and a battle royal to determine a top contender for the Intercontinental title. That battle royal is now.
Whoa.
20 men to determine the top IC title championship challenger. Rad Radford, Bob Holly, Henry Godwin, Skip, Duke Drosy, Barry Horowitz, Hakushi, Karma, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, King Kong Bundy, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, 123 Kid, Savio Vega, Aldo Montoya, Bam Bam Bigelow, Fatu, Marty Jannetty, Sid, Owen Hart, and Isaac Yankum, DDS. What happened to that wrestler? The only wrestlers getting entrances are Marty Jannetty, Sid, and Isaac Yankum.
Why was Yankum the last one in? You've got Bam Bam Bigelow in there. You've got Sid. You've got obviously Owen Hart not on TV, because if they're in Canada, they don't want Owen Hart being cheered on TV.
I thought that the crowd would go for Owen later in the match, but they didn't.
No.
But Marty... over Rover in this
Road Warrior pop for Marty.
Mental. Some picture-in-picture promos. We get a whispery promo from Sid calling himself the Alpha Predator.
Oh, right. I've got here that he's whispering a promo trying to be Jake Roberts. I couldn't hear a word he was saying. I thought he called himself a Super Predator.
He said Super Predator. I believe Super Predator is Predator from the NES, but ported to a 16-bit console,
yeah.
I think. Just better graphics, I think.
Of course, yeah.
Nowhere near as good as Predator 64, which was a 3D rendition of 2D, and it just didn't go as well.
No, it didn't.
Absolutely not. I've heard Predator Kart. Marty Jannetty.
I'd play that.
John!
John!
Sid Vicious kart racing game. called Predator Cart. Thank you, mate. Marty Jannetty hits us with, I keep trying to tell you, it's like this and that. As a matter of fact, MJ is most definitely back. Ooh, Vince is writing promos for Jannetty. This is both a gift because Vince likes him, and a curse because Vince likes him.
I did like the final line from Jannetty where he goes, oh, the winner gets a shot at Razor Ramon next week. So Razor, I'll be seeing you next week. I was like, go ahead, Marty, yeah. Back yourself.
Big confidence from Marty Jannetty, who is the hero of this match, as we'll find out. The bell sounds, Bundy immediately thrown out. Thanks for coming, mate. He's on the way out from the company at this point, I think. So yeah. They've just completely gone cold on Bundy.
There was no reaction, no fanfare to Bundy getting thrown out either. It was silence.
He got brought in with such great promos. Ones where he was King Kong.
Yeah,
swinging from a CGI screen. God, it was something special. Big pop when Skip was eliminated by Barry Horowitz.
Yes, he was.
During the break, we get a bunch of eliminations, including Horowitz, Godwin, Radford, and Karma. Big pop for Yankum, who gets dumped out by Sid.
Yeah.
So again, what was the point in Yankum getting the entrance?
Yeah.
It was a very weird decision to make Yankum. Whether or not Vince thinks Yankum is potentially a top guy.
Did you see Yankum, though? There was a decent reaction from his elimination, and I got a close-up of him just going, ah, shit. Just walking off.
I didn't spot that. Yeah. That's got to be Isaac Yankum DDS. Mm. Bigelow gets to eliminate Sid with a belly push, shockingly.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm very confused by how Sid and Isaac Yankum got the entrance treatment. And both get hoyed out by others relatively easily.
I mean, Bam Bam was massively over in this. You got a huge Bam Bam chant from that. It was weirdly booked.
Odd decisions. Bigelow gets to eliminate Sid, and after that, he's clotheslined out by Jean-Pierre Lafitte. The final four is Pirate Man, Caribbean Man, Rocker Man, and Heart Man. Canada is cheering for Marty and not Owen, which really surprised me. Yeah. We are in Bizarro World, and I thought the fans would just go mental for Owen Hart.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
It was an odd atmosphere for this episode of Raw.
Yeah, but it was a very bizarre choice. But mate, I'm delighted for Marty.
Yeah.
He skins the cat and eliminates Savio Vega, and then shortly afterwards, hoys Jean-Pierre out with a thunderous ovation.
Yeah.
Christ, Marty chants as Marty and Owen have themselves a heck of a scrap.
Yeah.
In the final throws of this match, Marty goes through the ropes at one point for a false finish. He chases Cornette away with the tennis racket, then gets leveled by Bulldog. Look who's back, man. He got himself out of the middle seat of the car, ran to the ring, and just took off the head of Jannetty.
I'm too late for Battle Royale. Bollocks.
Can I play? Oh, sorry, Rocker Man. Jannetty gets battered by Davey. Davey dumps him into the ring. He's easy pickings for Owen, who dodges a shoulder barge and just sends him hoying over the top. Great battle royal. Owen Hart is your top contender. Not angry with the decision either.
No.
Great match. I really enjoyed it. Weird booking, but I really enjoyed it.
I liked the second half. I thought the first half, the pacing was terrible and the TV direction was terrible.
Mm.
We had three eliminations in 4 minutes and they were just kind of like, everyone was standing around. At one point, Higuchi was just walking around doing nothing. And then it was like, oh, we've gone to the commercial. Oh, we've come back and half the entrance have gone, but it did start picking up the pace after it. But it was just some of the decisions, like you're saying about Sid, a year after this, he'll be WWF champion.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're obviously not thinking too far ahead.
No.
On this one.
But the audience, yeah, really hot for Marty Jannetty in 1995.
I think this is the risk of doing a battle royal for a mid-card title when all you've got, basically that's the entire roster in the ring.
Oh God, yeah.
That's not the Intercontinental Division. That is all the divisions.
Yeah.
And at this point, the idea of a triple threat and a four-way match are long in the distance.
Definitely.
So basically it's either a singles match, a tournament, or a battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
So battle royals always look impressive. I'm surprised nobody had the idea of the triple threat match sooner.
I know that
strange.
Legend dictates that the first one, at least for a title, was the ECW title, Shane Douglas, Terry Funk, Sabu.
Is that 95 or 96?
Night the Line was crossed, which I think is 90... It'll be 96.
96. I'm not sure it was. Because I know in 96 WWF, or 97 WWF did a triple threat match.
Yeah.
And I'm presuming it's because ECW did it.
Yeah, of course it was.
Simpsons did it.
Because here's something for you kids. The Attitude Era was all ECW, really.
It was a lot of ECW, but with better production. Basically, with nicer light. A commercial airs for WWF WrestleMania, the arcade game.
Yeah, it did.
Features Razor doing a pile driver that sends him 30 feet in the air. Razor splatting Shawn Michaels on the floor like Hulk did to Loki in Avengers. And Doink the Clown electrocuting Yokozuna.
Of course, what a game. I remember that match well in real life.
What were your thoughts seeing WrestleMania, the arcade game?
It made me really glory. It made me really want to play it.
Yes.
If Adam Pacitti's listened to this, which he's probably not because he's very, very busy, if there's ever like 10 minutes in the day where the streaming setup is free, I would like to play this for 10 minutes.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Let's make it happen.
Oh, we can. Let's let my people call your people. We'll make that happen. We'll do something. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of daftness and it's that sort of Mortal Kombat style of engine.
Yes, it was, yeah.
You know, Mortal Kombat is, at this point, I guess that's why it's number one in the UK box office. There's a lot of love for what Mortal Kombat is bringing in this particular era, which I'll get to in about a minute's time. Jerry Lawler interviews Owen Hart, and he promises to beat Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title next week because he's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Owen stealing Bret's line, always good.
It was actually okay for an Owen Hart promo as well.
They kept it short.
Yeah.
He didn't kick any legs from under any legs.
He didn't repeat himself like he always does.
Because traditionally, like a heart promo will just be maybe two bullet points.
Yeah.
And they'll just sort of dance around those two bullet points for however long they need them to dance around. And that's the best way that we do it. From one heart to another, we get a recap of Bret Hart and Diesel scrapping it in Your House 4. They will compete against one another at Survivor Series 1995, presented by Milton Bradley Karate Fighters. That's a karate fighter right there. A nice one. What are your memories of the Milton Bradley Karate Fighters?
I don't have any, but I looked at them on this. The advertisement was working on me tonight, folks, because I saw WrestleMania the arcade game. I was like, want to play that. Saw Milton Bradley Karate Fighters. I was like, want a set of them. They look cool, didn't they?
So this is Milton Bradley bringing the Rock'em Sock'em Robots back from the 60s. And again, Mortal Kombat is very much the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
So they are karate style. You each control a karate fighter with a spinning dial, and it makes the fighter throw kicks and punches quite randomly. The object is to kick your opponent in the chest hard enough to make them fly off the base.
That's great.
Some of the later electronic versions would also let out blood-curdling screams.
My leg! You bastard!
You could buy multiple versions of Karate Fighters. Red Ninja, Dragon Kick, Samurai Ninja, Headstone, Tiger Ninja, Cyber Fist.
These still sound like AAA wrestlers.
Razor Jaw.
Oh.
Sun Warrior. Still does. Serpent Strike. The Iron Claw. Thunderfoot. Skull Crusher. Kick Star. And Corporal Punishment.
And everyone's favourite, Lee.
Keith. Roger.
Oh, come on.
Do you know who was the most powerful out of all of those ones?
Iron Claw?
None. They all did the same bloody thing.
Of course they did.
But collect them all, kids! Collect them all! So the reason why Karate Fighters did so well is this sponsorship. Like, the biggest thing they would do in their time would be to sponsor WWF shows. And this is just the beginning.
Was this the thing that Eric Bischoff was involved in?
Karate Fighters? No.
No, he was involved in... I know he's now. It was earlier, still during the AWA. It was something kind of thematically similar.
Oh, okay.
Some kind of martial arts based game, and he was working because he was like a hustling salesman.
Mm.
And that's how he said it. It's been years since I've listened to the podcast. No, it hasn't. It's been a year since I've listened to the podcast. 83 weeks. But he talks about having some kind of martial arts style interactive game that got him in with Vern Gagne.
Right.
Because they sold ad space for it.
Ah, well, the more you know. No, well, it's not that that we're talking about here. But no. Stay tuned for more Karate Fighters-based talk.
Obviously, it's not Eric Bischoff involved with this, because fucking Nitro's on the other channel.
No, but Bischoff might be involved with something previously connected to this. So you're not, you'll be forgiven if you think you're dreaming.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's a place where only the strongest dare compete. Who are they? Karate fighters. You control the action. Dragon Kick versus the Red Ninja. Thunderfoot versus Skull Crusher. You control every punch, every kick. No rules, no referee, no holds barred. Just full contact karate action. The man left standing rules. Each set comes with two karate fighters. Get your hands on the action.
Doc Hendricks presents the Survivor Series Slam Jam. It's Doc Hendricks, who has clearly done a lot of drugs, getting very excited about the wrestling. He announces that Gorilla Monsoon, the fan-friendly president, has announced a four-on-four match for the show. You know how we all got a bit annoyed with WWE for just going, hello, we're WWE's Twitter. Here's Survivor Series teams. Thanks. Like, what happened to the days where we book these things? Well, I said that out loud multiple times, and then I watched this episode of Raw, and I realised it was much worse in 1995, where Gorilla Monsoon announced a wild card Survivor Series match. Two teams of four, completely at random, fighting at Survivor Series. Team one is Dean Douglas, Yokozuna, Owen Hart, and Razor Ramon. But Ramon's a goodie. He's on the buddy team. What's this bollocks? And on the other team, you have Shawn Michaels, Psycho Sid, but he's a baddie. British Bulldog, but he's a baddie. And Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, my heart skipped a beat.
Come to mama, Ahmed Johnson!
Ahmed and the British Bulldog on the same team.
Christ.
I cannot wait for this
show. Not enough meat in the butchers for those two big boys. We have a sudden cut to the arena before this could sink in. As Bob Backlund is walking through the crowd chastising the Canadians. Not sure why. Apparently he's running for president. Back to Doc Hendricks we go. We get the words... We get the words big. Also, we get words from big and bad Ahmed Johnson. Another sweaty promo, but this time more intelligible.
It was, yeah. It was actually, it was decent. He basically warned Sid and Bulldog not to tit about, or he'll show them the true meaning of medieval.
Don't tit about, lads.
And he told, Sean not to sweat it. The true meaning of medieval, it was cool, but like you said, he was just absolutely soaking.
Sweat pouring off that man.
Yeah, it wasn't even like running, it was just droplets. So I think someone was just like, let's mist you down before you go into this weird blue room. But he just looked sweaty.
They like misting down Ahmed.
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's just...
They think, you know what he needs to be? Really sweaty.
Yeah.
Sweat that man. Grease me up, woman. your thoughts on... on the booking of this?
The whole section was weird.
Mm.
I mean, Doc Hendricks, I've got here, looks like a paranoid coke dealer from a Lethal Weapon movie. And he was dressed like a member of Men on a Mission in his purple and gold shirt as he's dancing around going, whoa, doing... Did you get on his bad acting when they cut back to Bob Backlund as well? And he's like, Vince, what's going on over there?
Oh, Jesus.
In terms of...
Michael Hayes with the Freebirds, everybody, yeah, lest we forget.
Of course. He loves Bad Street USA and Jack Daniels and having a big hat.
I think he's on Jack Daniels more than anything at this
Maybe
point.
Maybe a bit. But I didn't actually... It went on a bit long. The pacing, again, was weird. Just cutting to Bob Backlund's, like, going mad at Canadians. In terms of the Survivor Series teams, they're two strong teams.
They are. I'm just curious of the booking.
It feels like it's done in reverse because from doing research for this, some of the animosity between the two teams will be explained in further episodes of Raw
that
they recorded on the same night. And the Ahmed promo, perfectly fine.
He's going to give us the true meaning of medieval.
Yeah.
Which is apparently relating to the Middle Ages.
Ah, right.
So
he's going to say...
He's building a time machine.
He's going to sit them down and go, well, King Arthur! Guinevere!
This is why I went to school. My mama made me go to school, get good grades.
Yeah.
Okay, so Survivor Series coming soon. We have a debut on Monday Night Raw. And what a debut! It is the debut of... Avatar, known to some as Alan Sarvan, known to long-standing, long-fearing wrestling fans as Al Snow.
The Crow himself.
Now, the Crow gimmick, which we talked about the other week, that he was practicing, that's gone.
Nope.
Scott Hall will have to put that back in his pocket for another day.
No.
This gimmick, based on a cross between Hayabusa,
yep,
who was a big name in Japan, and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, whose popularity the company wanted to capitalize on at the time as well. Because as well as Mortal Kombat being a big thing, Power Rangers are a big thing at the moment too.
He did look like a Milton Bradley karate fighter come to life.
He did. And you'd have thought with the current climate, with them having sponsorship with Milton Bradley, that might have paid off for him. But in an interview that won't air, says David Meltzer of The Observer. Have you got this too?
I have, yeah.
So talk us through how the WWF prepared the Manitoba crowd for Avatar.
So you got Avatar. Just imagine Al Snow, but dressed like an out-of-work genie. So before the show went on the air, in an interview that won't air, Jim Cornette was out with Avatar, insulting him and his outfit, so the fans knew to cheer him on when he went on live.
Well, that worked.
Yeah.
Brilliantly. The crowd are silent for the debut of Avatar in a technical exchange against Brian Walsh. They whiff a series of kicks, get a rise from the crowd from a diving plancha and a middle rope moonsault.
Yeah.
Walsh manages to come back with some running clotheslines, which look quite nice, actually. Sort of like Daniel Bryan-esque running clotheslines. While Avatar takes a moment to adjust his mask. Vince suggests that Brian Walsh is running out of steam. Jerry Lawler suggesting he was out partying with his cousin Joe. Joe Walsh! It's an Eagles reference! I love Joe Walsh's solo album.
I heard
Life's been good to me so far.
That was lovely.
Thanks, mate.
When I heard Joe Walsh, in the back of my head I went, isn't that the lead singer of Def Leppard?
It's not, is it? I'm sure Joe Walsh is from Eagles.
Yeah, he is. It's Joe something in Def Leppard.
Right.
Because, of course, this is Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler. They won't be referencing, you know, Def Leppard.
It's not the guy who won I'm a Celebrity. That's Joe Swash.
Mm.
Joe Walsh, I went to see the Eagles live in like 2003, something like that, a long time ago at the O2 with my mum. And Joe Walsh started the second half singing Life's Been Good. And he had a camera mounted to a hat on his head. And he was battered. It was brilliant. It was a great 5 minutes of Joe Walsh.
Was it
belted out Life's Been Good?
Was it
staggering around the stage?
Was Don Henley there? Was it full Eagles?
Full Eagles.
Oh, wow.
At one point, he asked us to stop filming before he silently sang Desperado. He ended on Desperado. Everybody else fucked off for the final. Just him on a spotlight singing Desperado.
Oh, lovely.
Let's not forget where the power lies. It's with Don Henley, the boy of summer. You bastards. Avatar comes back with a spinning backbreaker and a standing frog splash for the win. It was pretty bad, messy, not massively well received. I liked some of the stuff that Avatar was going for here.
Yeah.
It felt quite special, but it didn't quite touch the sides for me.
He was clearly uncomfortable wrestling under a mask.
Yes.
I think it was in Chris Jericho's first book, and he was going to be, was it Super Liger?
Heard that, yeah.
And he did one match under a mask. He said he could see bollocks all, and it was awful. And he was like, it's a hard skill in itself, wrestling under a mask. Mm. So you could tell that with Snow. He looked uncomfortable. There was no chemistry. They whiffed so many spots. It wasn't great. Vince sounded really low rent during this as well.
Vince wasn't impressed.
No, he's like, whoa, what a nice maneuver. And then afterwards, Al Snow took his hood back off. And Vince was like, oh, he's a nice-looking young man when he's unmasked. But, this should have succeeded. But like you were saying, they wanted to try and capture Hayabusa.
Mm.
This was not Hayabusa. I'm a fan of Hayabusa. I'm a fan of Al Snow. This is not Hayabusa.
Lower Booster, if anything.
It wasn't even Han Zomon from WCW Revenge. It wasn't great. I looked up on Cage Match. Apparently, Avatar will wrestle two more televised matches.
Oh, excellent.
He'll beat Skip on Mania, and he loses to Sid and 1-2-3 Kid on Superstars in the tag match of Aldo Montoya.
And he'll be referenced again in 1999 on Monday Night Raw.
Avatar.
Because Al Snow does a bit where Head gets either kidnapped or has a spike driven through him.
Yeah.
And Al goes a bit bonkers. And at one point, he comes out dressed as Avatar.
Oh, that's cool. I don't remember that.
And zero reaction.
Of course.
But like, I, at the time, I watched it and I didn't get it. I thought, is this a new character for Al Snow?
Yeah.
It's upon going back and learning the history that I go, now I get it. It's still a bit shit.
Talking of new characters, though, he'll be Leaf Cassidy in February.
Oh, yeah. Not long to go. Talking of old characters, Barry Dodinsky is back. What? He's selling WWE standees of Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart for just $25 each. Available now if you call the number on your screen. I thought the dud had gone.
So did I. But apparently
he's going to stick around a little bit and then he's going to go again.
Nothing personal against you, Barry. I'm sure you're a lovely man. I just don't want to see you on an episode of Raw.
They're just keen to sell as much stuff as they can. So having two shillers.
They were just like, Doc Hendricks is too busy, you know, clearly selling drugs to Hollywood types. So Barry, we need you back because we need to sell these cardboard cutouts. We've got 50,000 in the warehouse. We don't want to pulp them.
Their eyes follow us when we move. Vince McMahon tells us, and right now, WWF/WWE can be accused of hyperbole.
Yeah.
On a lot of occasions, they can. This might be the most hyperbolic thing I've ever heard Vincent Kennedy McMahon say from his mouth. This might be the most, you know?
We'll give you a peek behind the curtain here, dear listeners and viewers. While we were doing the research for this episode, Tom had started on it before me. I just heard a shout across our office, and he just went, Jackins. I was like, hello. And he was like, have
Johnny
you seen
Bombardier?
I was like, no, I'm afraid I'm fresh out. Bulldog was round and Peanut Butler served them.
Good. Peanut Butler! Big shout for Peanut Butler!
Thank you, John, for doing that picture of Peanut Butler. I wordlessly showed it to Sian and she rolled her eyes and said, have you been talking about Peanut Butler on the podcast? And I went, yes, I have. I love Peanut Butler.
Your Bombardiers.
Thank you, Peanut Butler. So, Tom shouted me and said, have you watched this episode of Raw? And I said, I haven't yet. I'm going to start soon. And then hit me with this bombshell from the announce team.
Next week, we will have a Battle of the Legends. When you say the phrase Battle of the Legends in 1995, not a massive pool to draw from, but you could maybe say, all right, let's think who's on the roster of a legendary variety. I guess you could class maybe, Christ, Bret Hart.
Yeah.
He's a legend. That you get away with that.
Bundy.
Bundy is a legend. Yeah.
Maybe Sid,
because he wrestled. He was at WrestleMania 8. So yeah, Sid is technically a legend. You can do a battle of the legends with Sid. Jerry Lawler, kind of a legend in his own lunchtime. That would kind of work. I guess some would call Diesel a legend. No, none of these. A battle of the legends. Savio Vega versus Goldust. The Caribbean champion, Savio Vega, versus a guy who debuted the day before. This Battle of the Legends.
Shameless.
Absolute bollocks.
Shameless.
He debuted the day before.
It's amazing. You've got to love the WWF hype train.
Jesus.
Goldust, he's a legend. He had a tepid match yesterday. He's a legend. You should love him.
Yeah. Oh, legend of the tepid match from off of yesterday. So we're getting Goldust. Now, because the thing is, right, if they just said it's Goldust and Savio Vega, fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not against Goldust. We're playing with a reduced train set here. So Goldust and Savio Vega as a match on Raw, fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't you dare tell me this is Battle of the Legends.
Yeah.
A guy who I mean, you try and present Savio Vega as like a legend of the Caribbean scene.
Yeah.
They've tried to do that, so maybe bite on that a touch. Goldust debuted, he was literally born yesterday.
I mean,
we weren't.
I'd have less of a problem if it wasn't Savio Vega and it was instead Quang. But of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if it was Quang versus Dustin Runnels.
Yeah.
There you go. But, oh, I'll print all of that money. So, yeah, Goldust versus Savio Vega. Battle of the Legends, apparently, next week.
Yeah.
We come to our final match of the evening. It is for the WWF Women's Championship. Bertha Faye defending against Alundra Blaze.
Mm.
Bertha Faye's theme music. Do you not think that it is a very delicate, legally permittable ripoff of Eagles' Take It to the Limit?
Yes. It was skirting very close to the edge, wasn't it?
Second Eagles reference on Raw this week, which is why I think he mentioned Joe Walsh, because he must have heard it earlier and thought the same thing.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's like kind of bouncing around Jerry Lawler's mind palace when that match is going on.
Of course.
It is very much that, very much that. Big pop for Alundra Blaze as well.
Very good reaction.
Yeah.
I think it helped that she had the pyro. It wasn't the best pyro, but even if you were coming here for the first time, you'd never seen wrestling in your life, and you saw someone running out with fireworks and a light show, you'd be like, yeah, I'm getting behind this.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, and it's true. Big love for Alundra Blaze, mainly because of the spooty pyro.
Yes.
Bertha dominates early. Big slam, beefy leg drop. Lawler calls Alundra Blaze a linebacker in a cheap wig.
Made me chuckle, and I felt instantly bad.
McMahon insists that Bertha Faye is overweight, contrary to what Jerry Lawler is saying. So that's where we're at. When we come back from break, Blaze has Bertha in a Boston Crab, but realizing the cameras are back on, Bertha Faye quickly takes back control. Blaze runs. I feel like that was a spot that overran.
Yeah.
I feel like we as a TV audience were meant to just watch Bertha dominate Blaze for this entire match, and a little hope spot was put in to keep the crowd hot, and it kind of overran. Blaze runs wild with turnbuckle shots, a hip toss, missile dropkick. She's getting back into the fight now. Blaze attempts a powerbomb. Faye powers out. Eats a Frankensteiner off the top shortly afterwards. Harvey Whippleman tries to get amongst it. Bertha ends up crashing into him. That leads to a German suplex for the win. New champion. The ring announcer not aware that the title has changed hands. So just announces Alundra Blaze as the women's champion.
Yeah. It was, I really like this match.
Do you know what? It was a decent match.
Vince was a bit mean, though. He wasn't calling Bertha Faye Bertha Faye. He just kept calling her Big Bertha.
Yeah.
Mean bastard. But really good match, and a historic match as well, because this will be the last title change for the WWF Women's Championship.
The last ever?
Yeah.
So
for this go-round,
oh,
anyway.
Oh, wow. So what, the title's just going to vanish?
Well, I wonder where it will vanish to.
Da da da! Of course!
Yes! Blaze will appear twice more on TV, then she's gone. Bertha will get one more appearance, and then she's gone.
Well, that's the women's division.
It's gone, yeah. Dave in the Observer said, if you get past the fact this feud was a disaster and Faye is usually awful, this was also good. 2.5 stars.
Oh, that's very kind.
But no, I thought this was a really good match. Bertha Faye's offense at the beginning was really good. She hit a really nice Batista bomb at one point. The only thing was the crowd were a bit dead when Alundra was getting battered. When Alundra was on the offense, they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when she wasn't, they were quite quiet. But good match. Thoughts?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think that it's funny, like historical, in the sense it's the last women's title change on Raw of this version of the title. Also, this surely should lead to a rewrite of history. Because the history books will tell you that the first women's match to main event Raw was Lita versus Trish Stratus in 2004.
Of course, yeah.
Now, obviously, the main segment of Raw is what we're going to see next.
Yeah.
This being the last match on Raw technically made it main event?
It's, in my opinion, it should have finished. If you're going to finish an episode of wrestling TV, you want it with a title change.
So technically, Lita and Trish Stratus, you're both full of shit. Because Bertha Faye and Alundra Blaze did it years ago.
And even before then, it wasn't the... But before Lita and Trish Stratus, wasn't there a tag match? Was it Triple H and Stephanie against Lita and...
But that still counts as men being involved.
Yeah. So we're talking
I'm saying more the women being involved in a match. Also, not even a title change, but a straight women's division match.
Yeah, of course.
That doesn't really count because there's a few matches you could chuck in there. But I think this was the first women's title match to, or women's division match to main event Raw.
I had never even considered that, but
We close Raw with Jim Ross interviewing a crestfallen Shawn Michaels. Now, the image of Shawn Michaels here was used in lots of documentaries and stuff when they talk about like Shawn losing his smile and stuff like that, because it's a good bit of B-roll with Shawn Michaels genuinely looking broken. Shawn Michaels with that walk of shame, crumpled in the bus stop waiting for the bus home after a heavy night at Spoon's type look about him.
Yeah.
JR asks Shawn what it's like to forfeit the Intercontinental title. Shawn, emotionally spent, says being beaten up by 9 guys in Syracuse is fine, but giving the title to somebody overrated like Dean Douglas was worse. Oof. I've just written oof here. Way to bury Dean Douglas!
Overrated and undeserving.
Oh, apologies! Yeah. Overrated and undeserving. Shane Douglas, cut the fucking music. Dean Douglas. Now, we know the click. We're not fans of Dino Machino. But this was
harsh.
Just killed him.
Yeah.
That killed him. I don't think Dean's coming back from this somehow.
No, he's not, is he?
He's in the Survivor Series as it stands, but we'll see how we go. JR asked Shawn about the wild card Survivor Series match. Shawn has tests coming up, hopes to be back in the ring next week. He quote, I can sit home and cry, or I can come to work and be a pain, and I'm all cried out. Hard to be hurting when you're handful of loving. All cried out.
Yeah, cried out.
Tune.
I know, right? Yeah. Dropping the bangers today. Vince sends us home, reminding us the next week we'll have an IC title match and the Battle of the Legends. Keep pushing that, bad boy, you carny bastard. what do we think of Shawn's sit-down with JR? JR's always been very good at these sit-down bits, hasn't he?
I still think that should be his role on AEW.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not the biggest Shawn Michaels fan.
I've heard rumour.
But I really like this. Self-aware, self-deprecating Shawn is a breath of fresh air. I've put here, it's also why Hangman Page works so well.
Yes.
It was the line from Shawn, I would never claim to be the toughest, and nowadays that's the last thing, the last thing I claim to be is the most popular. And he's very self-aware, and I liked it. It showed vulnerability. It showed just, he's just like, right, wow. I'm at rock bottom here.
Yeah, and I'm a cunt.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't learn a lesson for this for a few years. But no, I really like this. Thought it was really effective. And like you said, they're going to go overdrive and push in babyface, can-do attitude Shawn. And as a launch pad, this was fantastic.
Do you know what? Maybe getting the shit kicked out of you in Syracuse was probably a weird blessing in disguise. Because
yeah.
I feel like that Shawn gained quite a lot of... like babyface traction from, like, he was popular anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But there was something about that, the way they twisted that to kind of tell this story on television, or like the humbling of Shawn Michaels that led him to where we get to for WrestleMania. I think it's a bit of a gift, that is.
Yeah.
It's nice when something comes along that becomes, you know, a gift horse.
Of course, yeah.
And this really, really does. We will see how they get closer to the return of Shawn Michaels next week, along with that Battle of the Legends. What do we think of Raw this week, Jackins?
I thought it was good. I thought the Battle Royal was two halves. It was, you know, started a bit slow, weirdly paced, ended really strongly. Avatar was awful. Title match was good. But the storylines have progressed. Everything served a point. The only thing is, I fear for future shows, because we are here for three more episodes, and this crowd were pretty shit.
Well, here's the thing. This is something that they did that I noticed when I went through all the Observer notes. Have you noticed that they taped these shows in a weird order?
No, I didn't.
So they taped last week's show the hour before this show went live.
Wow, okay.
So it'd be interesting to see how they've woven that together, which is why you had like the Avatar promo before Raw started, because they made that part of the first week's show.
Okay.
And it's weird because you have a thing with Marty Jannetty calling out Bulldog for a crime that he hasn't committed yet next week.
And Bulldog and Ahmed as well.
Yeah, again, for storyline reasons that haven't been made clear yet. But they will, because they've already, the live crowd didn't see it at the time.
Right.
But then we watch on telly, you'll see it in the right order.
Okay, so that makes sense, because
I think that's, well, there's two reasons for that. I think that's either to keep Dirt Sheets guessing.
Maybe.
Also to make sure that the crowd energy remains relatively consistent for the following week.
Yeah.
Also, they don't want the show to run long. So if they do the first show, like if they're doing the first show of a 3-hour block of tapings at 8 p.m., you're not going to be out till like 11:30 midnight.
True.
And they're going to be haggard.
Yeah.
So start it earlier, get at least the first show under your belt. Second show is live. Third show, and then the fourth show can follow it. You could probably be out by 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah, actually,
It keeps the energy relatively up.
Oh, well, that's all right then, because as I was watching this, there was... It was painfully quiet at times. I could hear my blood rushing through my veins at one point. But Marty Jannetty got a loud reaction.
Maybe we'll learn next week why Marty Jannetty is so suddenly over like Rover in Manitoba, Canada.
She comes out and hits Bulldog with a chair.
Comes out and announces, I have cured world hunger.
Tim Hortons for everyone in the arena.
Everyone that cheers me gets a Marty Jannetty ice cream bar. Maybe we'll find out. So they do get around... I think that.
Okay, then.
That. I mean, even if they don't, that's what heat machines are for.
What did you think of this week's Raw?
I enjoyed it on the whole. I thought that, the Battle Royal, I thought Marty Jannetty, a surprise star of the show. I thought the women's title match was good fun as well. Shame about Avatar. But hey, you can't win them all. Never mind. What are you working on this week, sir?
Still my ongoing project.
Well, you're on your holiday this week.
This week. I'm on holiday, so I'll just be eating meat somewhere and...
Find him eating meat somewhere in London.
Yeah, probably looking at coats and saying to Sean, can I buy that coat? And her saying, it's your money, but you're an idiot. And then me buying the coat.
78 coats.
Love a coat, mate. Love a good coat.
Can we do like a tour one day of your coat jacket, a bit like Ike Manjiro from NXT?
Yes, you can.
That'd be amazing.
Yes, you can.
Like a little cribs thing. I'd like that a lot.
But yeah, so currently, I'll probably be eating somewhere. What about you?
Very nice. Well, by the time you have seen this, hopefully you have endured the first ever live review show on Twitch. So Survivor Series was yesterday, and today at 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, we did a live report back of Survivor Series, a very special show with Andrew and I, all bells and whistles. You'll know how it went by now. If I stumbled, apologies. If I didn't, it's fine, never meant to anyway. And if you missed it, you can watch it on the on-demand at twitch.tv. A former landing on the mic. Classic Nitro this week, as well as Classic SmackDown review, returning after a week hiatus at the end of the week as well. What else do I need to report back on? If you want to watch these episodes, patreon.com/cultaholic. If you're hearing these, you can see what hand gesture Jackins is currently doing. Do a hand gesture. There it is. You can only know what that is. I don't even know what that is. You didn't even know. Don't say it, because you've got to get the Patreon.
Yeah.
You got to pay to see what that is.
And if you're on the Patreon and you know what that is, don't grasp me up.
Oh, no. Yeah. Patreon.com/cultaholic to grasp Jackins up. And until we are next together, he is at Brat Atkins on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. How's Louis?
Oh, God, how isn't Louis? Right, quick one about Louis. So, doing full gear at the weekend, I was like, right. Kept the cats with Sean. I was like, right, these can sleep in here. Not a peep from them all night. It's going through. Poppy walks in at one point, goes, broop. And I was like, hi, Poppy, are you okay? She's like, what are you watching? It's like, full gear. She's like, oh, how did Kingston Punk go? It's like, good match. She's like, right, I'm going to sit on the couch. It's like, sit on the couch. Gets to the main event. Bell rings. Her. I was like, Louis, not now. Please not now. Please not now. Any other match on the card. Not now. Not now. Not now. And then he kind of saw Poppy and just kind of went, oh, and just walked off. And thankfully, crisis averted. But I was just like sat there shaking my head saying, of course he's coming during the main event.
Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.